Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called us through His Son with three commands, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is exactly who we are as the Heart of Christ Church and what we aim to do. And today is no exception. Amen? So we come this day in the Word of the Lord, and I ask the question to you, what's your name? Many of us are going to tell us the name that our parents gave us because it's the name that we know. Can I get an amen? But do you know that God knows your name? And it's not the name that your parents gave you. And today we're going to talk about that, and I want us to understand. The men already heard a third of this message if they were at the men's ministry. And I was not going to do this, but then Wednesday night, the Lord said to me, yes, you're going to do this. And then on Thursday, He confirmed it with a woman, because that was the portion that I was missing. And guess what, ladies? God knows your name too. And He reminded me of that very much so. And we're going to look at that reality, because God does know our names. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are going to be in Genesis 32. Genesis chapter 32 is where we're going to begin anyway. We're not going to end there. In fact, we're going to end at the end of the book. Till we are done, we will be in the book of Revelation. But for now, I need us to begin where? At the beginning. Genesis 32, beginning in the 22nd verse. And I need to give you a little bit of a preface here, because this text jumps right into the narrative, so I need to kind of set things up. We need to remember, and this is my point in this section, you are not who the world says you are who God says you are. This story is a story of Jacob as he is getting ready to go back to his brother Esau. Now please remember, we need to understand what was going on in Jacob's life. Jacob was a deceiver. Remember, that's what Jacob means. It means deceiver, trickster, okay? And he lived up to that name throughout his life as he took his brother's birthright with a bowl of stew. And then he took the blessing of his brother because his mother said, do this and then flee. And that's exactly what he did. He was a trickster. He was a deceiver in the world's eyes. But in God's eyes, God had another thought, just as He does upon us. And I'll explain that. So from the 22nd verse, we pick up the narrative, and it says this, thus saith the word of the Lord. Now he arose, that is Jacob, that same night, and took his two wives and his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent them across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so that the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said to him, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he, Jacob, said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named that place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. I want you to think about what this is talking about. We simply think of it as God renaming Jacob. No, God was defining Jacob. He was allowing Jacob to see beyond this world and into a truth that each and every one of us needs to understand. That as we go through this world, we are going to wrestle with the world. We're going to deal with the world and what the world calls us. But we need to remember, as we're wrestling with this world, the truth of the matter is you are wrestling with God. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are wrestling with the Lord God Almighty. He is allowing things to come into your life that if He is in that mix, He will define who you are and He will give you the better name. Because you shall prevail. What does it say? Did it not say that you have striven with God and men and prevailed? When we do not give up, till when? Till the morning. You're going to fight all through the night. When is the morning? The morning is when the Christ shall come. We need to remember, that's talking daybreak. And we don't receive daybreak until we get into eternity where there will never be another night. Can I get an amen, church? Because that is daybreak. That is the morning. And that is when the day truly starts. For night shall never come again. But we need to understand, was Jacob the same after he wrestled with God? No, he limped. We are going to be transformed. We are going to be different when God gives us that name. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you may not understand what your name is. You may not even know what your name is. God knows that name. And we're going to find out a little bit later when we get availed of that name. But to me, today, I want you all to understand that when we wrestle with God, we need to understand, as this world is tearing us down, this world means to tear us down. We who are in Christ Jesus do not think about it in such a way. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we are to deal with hardship as discipline. To remember that God is in the mix, and if He is our focus, we are changed thereby through that struggling to the good and not to the bad. How many of you struggle in life? I don't know any individual in this world that does not struggle in life. We all struggle because we live in a broken body. Can I get an amen? Broken by sin, broken by health, broken by emotional stuff. I mean, it is broken. But we understand that we are broken because sin entered into the equation. But God can make us whole. Now, does that mean you're going to live a happy and glorious life that absolutely nothing is going to touch you in Christ Jesus? No, not in a worldly sense. But yes, in a spiritual sense. Because we know, though they can kill the body, they can't kill the soul. Can I get an amen? And that is what lives forever. We live forever in Christ Jesus in that thought. And that is what was going on here with Jacob. I want you to remember, Jacob had set everything away from him. All the stuff of the world, everything he had accumulated, everything that was him was completely and totally separated from him, and he was alone. How many of you have ever felt alone? How many of you out there on internet land have felt alone? Man, I'm telling you right now, Satan loves it when you feel alone, because that's when he slips in, and that's when people take their own lives. It's a dangerous place. So when you're there, are you going to look at the trouble? Are you going to look at the evil one? Or are you going to look to God and find life? Jacob said what to him? I will not let you go. He could have let go and the fight would have been over, right? He said, I will not let you go. Bless me. How many of us are actually saying that to God when we find ourselves in the midst of the trouble, rather than saying, Lord God, take care of this problem, say, Lord God, bless me. Because God's going to do what God's going to do, not what you want Him to do. And that's where we need to be. God, I want you to take this trouble away. God says, I don't want to take the trouble away. I want to change you. And in changing you, you'll be able to handle this trouble. What? Yes! When Jacob left there, he still had to go face Esau. Did it work out for him? You better believe it did. God smiled on him. Your trials and your tribulations are all in front of you. We need to remember, God does not take away the consequences of your sin, but He can change the outcome. And that's what He's doing in each and every one of our lives when He defines who we are. How many of you grew up knowing that you were stupid, you were ignorant, you were worthless, you were nothing? My dad told me that all the time. My father named me after himself. So what do you think he was projecting on me? My name is Richard L. Dubs Jr. So when he was calling me stupid, when he was calling me worthless, when he was saying and doing all these things that led up to a great divide between my father and I, of course, it took me years and wisdom to understand. He was literally telling me who he was and what he had been through. And he was projecting it on me because it was the only thing he knew. And now, what do I give unto him? Forgiveness, love, mercy, and grace. And I know the last about 6 months of my dad's life, he walked with the Lord. I'll see him again when I take my visit from my mansion and walk down the street to the peasants' houses. I'll see my daddy, because he's not going to have the reward I got, because I've started a long time before him. But you know what? I don't care. He's there. And that's what matters. There's a lot of you out there that are just like, what did he just say? Yes, I speak this stuff. It's truth. There are going to be all different levels of heaven. You all heard the story about the taxi driver and the preacher that went to heaven, right? Marion's shaking her head, yeah. They get up there and St. Peter's taking them back through where they go, and they get to the biggest mansions, and the taxi driver gets one of these big mansions, and the preacher's like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to see my place. And they keep walking, and it gets worse and worse and worse until it looks like an old rundown outhouse. And he said, here's your place. The preacher says, what's going on? I preached the message all my life, and you know, I served the Lord. And the St. Peter looks over and says, yeah, but every time you did, everybody fell asleep and nobody did anything. But when that taxi driver drove, they were praying in the back seat. I know there's levels of heaven. Read the book of God, read God's word. And when we get there, we're going to be blessed beyond all measure, because God knows your name. He knows the position He has for you. Don't let the world tell you where you're going to be. And we all do. We all do. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to understand that the world wants you to think it has the authority to name you. But I want us to understand, and ladies, this is where the revelation came, because I want you all to turn to Genesis chapter 2. So flip back, Genesis chapter 2. Because again, you know, I preached this sermon up there for the guys, and I went a whole lot further into that teaching for the guys, but I need to take this somewhere else, because I need to bless all of us, not just the men. Because God does know our name, guys. He knows who we are. But ladies, guess what? He knows who you are too. And I want you to see that right out of the Word, and how important it is that we understand it, that the first discrepancy came with women, all right? From Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse 18. We're going to be in verse 18 and 19. It says in verse 18 and 19, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. What just happened there? Who named the animals? Adam did, not God. Why? Because God gave man dominion over the animals. Now, I need to ask you a question. What was the woman's name? Everybody here is going to say Eve. No. What did it say? God tells us her name. I'm going to read it, but I'm going to insert Hebrew. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for Adam to be alone. I will make him a zir kenegdo. That's the Hebrew. Instead of a man, instead of man, that's Adam. That's the word Adam, because God named Adam. Who named the first woman? God did. And he named her Azir Kenegdo. Now we translate it as helper suitable for him. And ladies, I'm not going to get into this translation. This is something that we need to do as a Bible study sometime because it's rather wonderful. But Azir Kenegdo is kind of amazing because the word Azir is a word that is used where Lord is capitalized in our Bible. It is a word that the Lord calls himself. And we need to understand this word literally translates or can be translated as God's messenger. It's not angel, okay? We all know angels are God's messengers, right? That's what angel is translated as in the scriptures, and we use the word angel. However, here it is speaking of God and the woman. It's speaking of your position. It is speaking of who God sees you as. Adam means what? First man. Azir Kenegdo means God's messenger. With man. What? With man. Who had the authority to name her? God, not man. Man did not have authority over the woman because God created them. We need to understand when these weird people out there tell us that their pronouns are they, them, they're talking demonically. Because that is more than one. Do you remember Legion? He was a they, them. Because he had legions of demons in him. And we need to remember when God said God created them, male and female created he them, it was two. From the one. Now, what happened that woman got the next name? Well, if you read chapter 3, we read what's called the fall of man. We read where they were in the garden and they ate of the fruit and fell from the grace of God and God cursed them. And then if you look at verse 20 in chapter 3, so turn there. Verse 20 in chapter 3, this is after all the cursing. This is after God says that you shall be head over the woman and her desire shall now be for you rather than her desire being for God, that her desire would be for her husband. Now Adam says in verse 20, now the man called his wife's name Eve because he was finally given headship over her. Prior to that, they were equal. God knows your name, ladies. He knows who you are, ladies. He knows who all of us are. When we understand God is the one who defines, not the world, not the situation. In the situation, you're going to get named, okay? I can remember being called a loser. I can remember being called a nerd. I can remember being called some things that I can't say in church. And I literally began to become those things because I heard them for so long. And my life spiraled out of control, just like Jacob's life spiraled out of control. Until he got to a place where everything he had was taken away from him and he was alone with God. And God wrestled with him. Until when? Until daybreak. Your breakthrough is coming. When you are wrestling with God, your breakthrough is coming. The question is, are you going to look into the face of God or are you going to look into the face of the trouble? I'm going to look into the face of God. You better look into the face of God, because when we look into the face of God, we find what? Blessing, not cursing. And we are transformed. We are changed. Brothers and sisters, who has the authority to name you? Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. God and God alone. That's it. The world is going to call you all kinds of things. The world is going to come at you and label you and try to define you. Because if it can define you, it can control you. Have you ever noticed how the vocabulary words in our day have changed? Okay? I mean, there are words out there that do not mean anywhere near what they used to mean. Okay? You don't believe me? Go to the CDC website and check out some of the definitions that they've changed. Go to the World Health Organization, check out some of the things that they've changed. Go to our government websites and check out some of the things that they've changed. We understand that they are changing everything because if you are the one who defines it, you control it. God is the only one who controls us. Can I get an amen? We submit to no other but God. And out of love for God, we submit to governments and authorities and rulers, but only as long as they hold to God. For when they violate the word of God, when they violate His principles, we have the right as citizens of heaven to declare our amnesty from those very things. And guess what? In the United States, it used to say that we had freedom of religion and we could literally stand upon those truths and those principles. Try that now, what happens? We get tore down. And not only by the peoples, but in the courts, we're seeing these very things. As we see these new definitions coming in, as we see the tyranny of man rising up, and remember, the tyranny of man is the coming of the Antichrist. We are being prepared for that great and fateful day. Those of you who were here last week when Brother Mitch was preaching, did you hear that message? We're on the way. We all know we are. All we have to do is look at what's out there. Look at how they're trying to groom our children into sexuality from ages zero through. We know that's wrong. They are children. You don't perpetuate these things upon children. It's not even right to perpetuate it upon adults. Can I get an amen? And we're being told that we're wrong. I think the world is sick. There's an illness going on. And it has been since chapter 3 in Genesis. It's called the fall. And sin has become so prevalent. And Jesus said, there is a time coming when the people will not want to hear the truth, but longing for everything their itching ears long to hear. But it's amazing. How many of us want to hear that we're a failure? How many of us want to hear that we're worthless? How many of us want to hear that stuff? We don't. But yet, we accept it, and we begin to be it. And I'm telling you, folks, turn from that way. That is not your destiny. That is not how God has defined you. We just read this out of the Word of God. He alone has the authority to name you. No one else. Not even your parents. Okay? Not even your parents. They do not have the authority to name. Yes, they're going to give you a name because you have to have a name in this world. But I am speaking about the reality of your name. Who you really are. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Turn in your Bibles with me. I want you to turn first to Isaiah. We're going to go back a little bit further in the Bible, and then we're going to go back all the way. I want you to turn to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Because I want you to understand, it's at the beginning, it's in the middle, and it's at the end, okay? Do you think God wants us to understand He is the same yesterday, now, and always? All right, we need to understand. And didn't that say that He knows my name? I mean, this is funny because that's the song I chose for the other sermon. And when I'm reading this and I'm going through this, I was like, oh my goodness, God, you even had me put the right songs in, and I didn't know I did it. From Isaiah chapter 62. One verse. And I want you all to read it with me, whatever your translation is, read it with me. Chapter 62, verse 2. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. Who? Not the nations, not the world, not the governing authorities. Who? The mouth of the Lord will say who you are. And guess who's going to pay attention when he speaks it? Everybody. Because you will begin to be that name. And that name is a warrior. That name is a victor. That name is a prince of peace. That name is a glory in the sight of the Lord. That name is heir to the promise. That name is risen up into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. And no one can pluck you from his hand. Can I get an amen, church? Boy, you better get fired up. I know I am. Y'all smiling. Man, we need to be alive with this stuff, breathing it, being it, eating it, drinking it, knowing it. Because I will tell you right now, just as you are what you eat, when you take in the things of this world, that's what you're going to become. And this world wants us to be in a dark place, doesn't it? This world wants to fill us with doubt and with all this stuff. We are children of light. Would you start partaking of the light? Would you start walking in the blessing that you have? You know your name is written in glory. You know God is walking right beside you. He's got you covered in front and back, on both sides, above and below. There ain't nothing getting in that he doesn't know about. And if it's going to get in, he has you prepared to take care of it. And you better believe it. But you're going to go through it. Why? Because we live in this sinful world and God wants to teach and train us all up. How do you get a child to know? You cannot simply plug them in and they know everything. They've got to go through it. We all know it. We've been through the school of hard knocks. And guess what? We've gotten thus far. And it, you know, when I look back, there have been some pretty tough things. But you know what? I'm still here. I'm still kicking. So get out of my way lest I hit you. Because I'm moving on. I ain't staying where I am because the past is behind me. I got the present. But here comes the future. When? Now. When? Now. When? Now. And I'm keeping on. And that's the way God wants us to live, knowing that we are walking towards our name. Well, Pastor, when's it going to happen? Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. I told you, beginning, middle, and end. God is the same yesterday, now, and always. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And I think this is amazing because he puts it right towards the beginning of the book of Revelation, because he wants us to hold on to this until the end. Because remember, the church isn't going to be here through the book of Revelation. We're only going to be here for a little bit of time when Revelation is being revealed. And right now, these books that we're going to read here, this story that we're going to read here, is about one of the church ages. And we are yet in the church age. How do we know that? Because we're still here. So God's talking to you, cheap church. And what does he say? From verse 17. Verse 17 in the second chapter of Revelation. Here he's talking to the church, to the church of Pergamum. And he says unto us. He says, and I love this. This is one of my favorite things that he says in the Bible. He says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you have an ear to the word of the Lord, church? Then hear the word of the Lord spoken to you. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. Ooh. How many of you are ready to receive it? But before we receive it, he's going to give us some of the hidden manna. Do you know what that is? Do you know what he's talking about right there, brothers and sisters? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? the hidden manna. He came, he showed himself to the Jewish people, and they could not see him for who he was. But we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can see him as the Messiah, as our Savior, and we have given our lives unto him. We have eaten of that manna. We are alive in Jesus Christ, and we are waiting for that great and fateful day when our name shall not be written with anything but stone, and it will not be removed, just as the word of God. For he is our rock and our salvation. Our name is written in him. Do you get it? Whew. Heaven help me. I'm telling you, I have been fired up. I went to the mountain twice in the last 2 weeks. Look at my wife. She's like, oh my gosh. I mean it. Man, God has a message for you. He knows who you are. He's given you all the hope and all the glory. All you got to do is trust in him. And it is written in the rock. And it cannot be removed. And that is who you are to him. I don't care what the world says about you. Stop listening to the lies. Pick up the word of God. Eat that manna. And know that you are his. Now and forever. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you as your chosen children because you know our name. We are who you say we are. We are not who the world says we are. We come to you with the knowledge and the hope that in that, Lord, we may be changed. And Father, for every person out there that is listening to this word, we pray that if they are at that place where they want to cast down that name that has been given unto them by the world and pick up the name that you have given unto them, that they would simply come, repent of your sins. That's what the word of the Lord says. Repent of your sins and simply ask Jesus to teach you, to walk with you, and to bring salvation into your life. Because if you have done that, if you have asked that forgiveness, if you have cast it down, then accept that new name. And we'll know it one day, but right now we're working on it because we're working it out. And we will become the newness of Jesus Christ. For the old is gone, and the new has come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.